This week, we are going to take a different approach and look into the why a person may bully. Let's get into it after I hit this music. Joining me this week is Kathy James, a youth trauma speaker and author. Kathy, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Tim. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Yes, I'm always excited, especially when we get the person who was a bully on my podcast, because we read a lot on social media, bullies are the bad people, they're evil people. They may do some bad things, but they may be struggling as well. So before we get into the story of you being the bully, let's go back and discover how that even happened in the first place.
So a little bit of background about my personal story. I grew up in a home that was prone to violence and surrounded by aunts and uncles, including my mother, that were prone to alcoholism and drug addiction.
What kind of violence was it? Was it like a family abuse, or they just get into fights with neighbors?
Picture a day full of laughter and fun on a birthday, my birthday, and you know, it's the best day ever, and then it turns into chair smashed against the wall and the police in the front yard, and there's, you know, in the mix there was some, you know, physical violence. And so in between the rages and fits of fighting, there's also the verbal and emotional abuse that went on. Now, while I'm very grateful that my grandparents raised us, there was, you know, some, they became enablers for my mother and her siblings. And so they came in and out of our lives. And when they were looking for a place to rest or revamp or to recharge, whatever it might be, they'd come to our home, right? They looking for a place to sleep, looking for food and place to wash their clothes and wait for their check, whether it be disability or some other form of government assistance that they might be looking for. But then they would start to get that itch to get back on the street or to return to their old habits, and a fight would break out. So that was the roller coaster of my childhood.
How old were you when this started?
Before I had memory. But then when I became a teenager, some of those, the rage started to be more pointed at the teenagers in the house. When we were younger, we just watched from afar, right? It was just something that we witnessed, but we became targets, if you will, of my grandmother's frustrations and possibly, most likely, even undiagnosed medical conditions. And so I consider it kind of like bullying. You know, the emotional abuse is very much, and verbal abuse is very much bullying. So I started to become bullied at home, but while I was also transitioning and went into all the things at home, I also became a target on my school bus in middle school for the kids in the back of the bus, at least seven of them that were, you know, bullying me because of the way I dressed or the way that I didn't dress. And, you know, they just found reasons. They made up lies about my sexual behaviors and just really targeted me. Thankfully, I didn't have many classes with those individuals, but they lived in my neighborhood. So if I left my home to go into the neighborhood, I would run into them. So yeah, I'll pause there so that you can interject if you like. It's a lot. I could share so many details on that.
No, it's great, because what it's doing is giving us a good kind of background of what you went through, because eventually you stuck up, from reading what you sent me, you stuck up for somebody and you got to experience power for the first time.
I did.
What was that like?
I started to take up for another girl on my bus, becoming even more of a target. And then I started taking up for myself, and I found myself in a situation where I was pinned between, now this was a different, this was not the bullies in the back of my bus, but it was definitely a bully at school that I ended up standing up to. She didn't really target me too much, but I think I had become so fed up with just being pushed around in general that I just reacted. So I took up for myself in a particular situation in the gym and found myself pinned between the gym bleachers and this heavyset young woman in my gym class. And I was labeled a bad kid immediately. I was expelled
by the teachers,
by the principal, who expelled me and sent me to an alternative school. I think at that time, I'd also started to push back at home. So I was also starting to experience show other signs in other areas for behavior. But this was the tip of the iceberg. It was my first time fighting. It was, you know, it was the first time for me to really stand up for myself. And I didn't get expelled immediately. I just remember going to lunch afterwards, and I ended up having a broken nose, and it was very evident. And some of the bullies in the back of the bus were cheering me on and feeding my ego. And these individuals in the back of the bus that would bully me wouldn't even stand up to this bully. And so it fed my ego. You know, I was very insecure. I was very much, I had good friends that followed me from elementary school into middle school, but you know, that longing, you know, is still there. And it felt powerful for me, but I still was labeled that bad kid and put into an alternative school where I was met with more kids that were ostracized and was subjected to more of their behaviors and started taking on even those characteristics.
So going back to the bleachers, and I want to address you being labeled as a bad kid, but going back to the bleachers, how did you and that girl end up behind there?
She was standing in front of a crowd, you know, those of us sitting on the very bottom seat of the bleachers. And we had asked her if she could move so that we could see I think it was dodgeball, some sort of game that was on the main court. And she looked at us and refused to move. And so I said something and found her finger directly in my face and my nose. And instead of allowing her to continue to point at me, I moved it. And immediately the pounding started.
So because of that one incident, you were labeled the bad kid in school?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So now I had started to demonstrate some things at home that the school was probably privy to, but up to that point, I was not a bad kid in school. And I didn't even skip class at that point. It wasn't until a few years later that I started skipping class and doing some of the other things that, you know, taking on some of the other self-sabotaging habits that I would, you know, succumb to. But up to that point, I hadn't, you know, and it was eye-opening. I remember sitting outside of the principal's office or the assistant principal's office, and the girl that I'd gotten into a fight, she was sitting across from me and she was befriending me. And I was quiet. I didn't talk up. I didn't speak up for myself. So when it was my turn to go in to the principal's office, she had already heard the other young lady's story. And moments before I went in, she was trying to befriend me. And so I felt compassion for her. So I didn't rat on her. I just kept quiet and took whatever the principal had to say to me and just took it for word and moved on. My grandmother picked me up a few hours later. I had already had an appointment that afternoon. So they, instead of sending me home right away, they waited for my appointment to come up so that she could pick me up. And she enrolled me into the alternative school, and I went there for the remainder of the year.
So before you stuck up for yourself, which got you in trouble, did the teachers recognize you as a target of being bullied? Or nope. Did they see any of it? Did you report any of it to the teachers?
No. Well, there was the bus drivers absolutely knew. The bus drivers, they could hear the taunting in the back. They just don't know, right? In the hallways of school, you know, it wasn't as much because all of the bullies were now scattered in their own classes. Now, there were times where if there was more than one in a class that I would get a little bit of backlash, but they wouldn't do it as frequently in front of the teachers. But on the bus, it was rampant.
Now you stuck up for yourself. You got into the fight. Did you get expelled right away after that fight or?
Yeah. So it was immediate after that. I was enrolled into the alternative school. And in that alternative school were other, if you will, quote unquote, misfits. And we rode the bus back and forth to the school together. It was a different bus than normal, so it was a broader range of pickups than just your couple of blocks over. So we would get picked up and ride the bus together. And the following year, I gravitated to that same type of crowd, and I found myself becoming a bully rather than taking up for those that were being bullied. Obviously, I didn't think of it that way at the time, but obviously, here I am, 43. I know that it was bullying at its best.
What happened to the other girl?
I have no idea.
Did she stay in school, or did she have to get moved out?
I was told she was not expelled.
Weird.
But I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the school saw, because if other kids knew she was if the other kids knew that she was a bully as well.
I don't think that they. I don't think that they spoke up is what it is. And okay. then that's a big part of why I do what I do is I want to help others speak up, not only against bullying, but also to remember that there's a purpose. There's a reason why bullies bully. It's not wake up one day with this rage and aggression inside of them where they just have to direct it at the weakest link in their mind. It doesn't happen that way. And we need, if we're going to help our youth, we're going to have to help them holistically, leaving no one left behind.
It seems like the school didn't do you a good favor though. They didn't listen to both sides, and they cut you too early.
Looking back, there were a lot of leader influences that missed the cues. We went to church really early on when I was younger. My grandfather was trying to provide that positive influence. And then as we got a little older, my grandparents stopped going and we rode the bus. And the youth leaders, I don't know if they knew about my mother's addictions and that she was in and out of the house or not, but they never came to me and asked me about those things and the experiences at home. We would get sponsored to go to youth camp. And the youth camp leaders, they didn't know, but there had to have been some sort of signs within my behavior that were clues that were missed, right? And so it wasn't just the principal, it wasn't just the teachers, it was other adults within my path that I think probably missed the mark. It wasn't until later I ended up becoming a part of the system, if you will. I started not just bullying, I started skipping school, which I mentioned earlier. And when I got caught skipping school, I would not go home. So I was considered a runaway. So it just continued to progress and get worse over time. And I just became this time bomb. Yeah.
When you're bullying others, what type of person would you look for to target?
I don't think I looked for anyone in particular to target. It was just whoever in my clique didn't like for whatever reason. Maybe they displayed bully characteristics, or maybe they just, I don't know, just normal female backlash and et cetera. But I don't think that I targeted anybody specifically, but there were times where if my little sister was being bullied, then I would take up for her.
Well, that's sticking up for your sister. That's what sisters should be doing.
Right. But it went to the point of bullying. It wasn't just taking up for my sister. It was bullying. I remember at one point, and I'm going to go back to the bully on the bus and my church experience, being involved in the youth ministry, even after my grandparents stopped going, I ended up befriending one of the bullies in the back of the bus. And this happened before the fight in the gym. She and I became friends. She started hanging out with me at my house and staying the night. And on Wednesdays, we would go to youth service, which was about a little over an hour. And she started to go with me. And for whatever reason, I don't know what happened, she started hanging out with other friends again, whatever it might have been. One day I found myself subjected to her bullying again and making up lies about me, saying that I told her different various things and confidentiality. And it just became aggressive. And I found myself receiving messages from her and her friend and threatened to show up to the youth group to fight me. And they did. They showed up to church, and they never came into the class, but they stayed outside with their boyfriends, if you will, and waited outside for me to come outside after the youth group. And even though I never went over there to them, I specifically wore a spring dress that day, just to avoid getting into a fight with them. And so, but then two and a half years later, as I'm trying to stand up and protect my sister, I found myself doing the exact same thing, standing outside of a young lady's house with a friend threatening to fight her. So I ended up mirroring the very bullies that I once loathed.
Did you bully for survival of yourself? Because if you didn't feel like you didn't fit in with this clique, you would become a target again?
There were so many different reasons why bullies might bully, right? For me, it was low self-esteem. It was insecurity. Maybe it was a lack of positive role models, wanting to fit in. That sense of power, because I felt like I had no control over any other aspect of my life. So if I found that I could have that power in another form of, you know, and then not only that, I started to mirror what I was experiencing at home. That family environment.
So how did you change your life around?
So I became a teen mother at 16, started drinking heavily and becoming a borderline alcoholic by 19. So I'm compounding, right? And yeah. I ended up getting married and found myself in a position where we were just spinning wheels, constantly relying on some sort of financial assistance, whether it's government or a local nonprofit. And some positive individuals started to ask my husband and I to attend church with them, right? Going back to that, the faith there. And I refused. And my husband started to go, and we were in a roller coaster from the very beginning. We told each other we weren't going to get married and threatened each other with divorce before we even, right after we got married. So he was an amazing father, and we became really great friends after our divorce, which was back in 2012 now. But it was very toxic, especially very early on because of my background, as well as some trauma that he experienced in his childhood as well. But one day I remember sitting in the bed, and I started screaming to the top of my lungs that I didn't want to do this anymore. Internally, I wanted a divorce. I didn't want to continue to live that way. But I also was saying, I don't want to live anymore. And so I had that moment I hit a wall. I hit a moment of desperation, if you will. And in that moment, call it a divine intervention, whatever you will, inside I heard, you don't have to anymore. And in that moment, I made a decision that I wasn't going to walk in the same shoes as my mother, and that I was going to do different. Sorry.
That's all right.
And that I was going to be different. And I started embedding myself in a community of positive influences and persons that had aspirations and goals, and they spoke well, and they were positive. Up to that point, I had had people reach out to me in, you know, various forms, I believe, that probably extended some sort of support to me through my friends' parents, you know, because I ended up going through, like I said, the system. I ended up going to foster care for a short period of time when I was pregnant with my son at 16. And so I had some friends, family members try to reach out to me at that time to help me. But I was not mentally in a mental state to accept that support. And for whatever reason, in my early 20s, when I experienced this shift, I started to embrace it, and I became thirsty for growth and thirsty for knowledge. And I started diving in full steam ahead. And I still had many, many hurdles to overcome, but I found myself surrounded by those positive influences. I started seeking out a mentor. And then years later, I would start to take on personal therapy, which is now like a part of my resiliency tool belt now. It's yeah, absolutely a go-to for me. And then I started to grow in my knowledge in other areas and started to seek out to develop a career.
I find it interesting about your change. And this happened to me, not as quite as your story did, but I had a guest named Kevin Lapine. He's a Las Vegas hypnotist. He runs his own show out in the strip area. But at the point of my suicide, I had this vision. Kevin was minutes away committing suicide. He had a voice, a thought hit him in the head that changed his whole life.
Yeah.
You had the exact same experience as he did, which is, I mean, if you don't believe in God or something, it doesn't make, I mean, there's something there that stops you in your tracks. And it's interesting because now I've been doing these podcasts, I kind of hear the same kind of stories. Like, how do you change? And it comes in that like a vision, or for myself, it was a vision, but everybody else had this powerful thought that made him do it. It's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Now you are a youth trauma, so you help kids out with, what type of experiences do you work with kids?
Right, so now? I am a young adult mentor, and yeah, I speak to youth audiences and youth leaders. I have not overly involved hands on with many organizations as of right now because of the pandemic. I started out in the untraditional way, if you will, and I am working with several different organizations to embed myself in those community networks more. I'm very accountable and very transparent, yeah, but up to this point, I've been able to speak directly to the youth leaders so that I can then empower them to go back to their youth and make the impact in their communities. And I do that in sharing my story and my experiences to help end that stigma, if you will, and to broaden the perspective of, yes, we absolutely need to be there for those that are bullied, you know, that's trauma, right? And we need to protect them. But we also need to ask why and start asking the questions and digging a little deeper into the cause behind the behaviors and provide them with help and support so that trend does not continue into young adulthood. And so I teach them about adverse childhood experiences in the study and the statistics. And then I lead into the warning signs of depression and suicide. And then that leads into, well, what are some applicable resources and tools that you can use to help your youth? So I've been up to this point by large speaking to the youth leaders, and I'm becoming more and more involved with the youth. Now, I've worked with youth in the past, but it's been 15 years. I used to work in youth leadership in the church that I had kind of embedded in as a youth leader there, but life changes happen, and yeah, I'm coming back around full circle. During that time, I would host parties in the house so that, you know, they could have fun with games and things like that, because we would do small groups in the houses and things like that. But then that would be the opportunity for me to share and to kind of inspire and support those youth. And I'm hoping to be able to do more of that.
How do you teach kids who are being bullied, or you teach those youth leaders to teach those kids if they're being bullied? How do you teach them to take a step back, look at their bully with a little bit more compassion, and try to maybe ask their bully if they can ask them their courage to do it, what's wrong?
Right.
Because that's tough to do.
It is tough. It is tough. I understand. I deal with the same struggles, but if you recognize the warning signs of someone being bullied, right? Same warning signs. You flip them around, it's the exact same warning signs of a bully or of someone being bullied turning into a bully, should you say. And they don't always turn into bullies because they were bullied. There's, like I said, there's the low self-esteem, there's, you know, family environment, there's multiple, you know, factors that are different from one person to the next. But the core...
Sometimes you just got those kids who are just plain jerks and that's just what they want to be.
Yeah. But what caused them to want to be a jerk, right?
Yeah.
So there's something that has prompted them to act out in that way. And it might not be because of the parents, because you might... There are many instances where you look at the parents and say, how did this happen? But something beneath the surface that you can't see caused that behavior. There's a quote, behavior is the language of trauma. Students will show you before they tell you they are in distress. And that's by Maciej Kielce. I can't take credit for it, but it's true. And that's true of adults as well. Adults are just little youth grown up who has dealt with all of this stuff, and it's compounding and it's coming out in the way of behavior, in the way of our actions. You know, our thoughts become words, right?
If people want to get in touch with you, follow you on social media, how can they do that?
Yep. So my email is hello@kathyjames.org. That's Kathy with a K. And you can find me on LinkedIn by searching through my name, Kathy James. Or you can go to my website and find all of the links at www.kathyjames.org. And I'd be happy to answer any questions, help with any type of youth event. I'm huge on wanting to provide a service. So if I can provide any type of editorial insight for newsletters, blogs, magazines, and different things to that effect, I'm happy to do that as well.
And any last advice for parents who may be struggling with their child being bullied?
I know it's hard, but especially when you're in it, because I think if my children were to be bullied, and they've experienced forms of discrimination and bullying in the past because they are mixed, try to remember compassion, right? Even if you aren't, you know, directly talking to the individual, the parents or the child, try to remember compassion and empathy and remind yourself, where did this behavior come from? You might not be this person to provide the support, but maybe you can make the suggestion to the school to look a little bit deeper.
I love it, Kathy. Thank you for coming on today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And for myself, you can always find us at our very own website, which is www.breakingbullying.com. You can also reach out to us at our email address if you have a story of your own bullying to share, or for whatever reason you want to get a hold of us. Our email address is breakbullyinghere@gmail.com. Now, if you're a victim of bullying and you don't know where to turn, there is online resources to help you. The first is the government's very own anti-bullying website, and the address is www.stopbullying.gov. And other online resource is www.pacer.org/bullying. Now, if you have had thoughts of suicide or of self-harm, we implore you to stop. Reach out to the National Suicide Hotline. That number is very simple. It's 988. I'm Tim Flynn, and thank you for listening, and we will be back next week to continue the conversation to break the silence on bullying.